All right. Let's read verse 3 in here. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. John is talking about himself and his fellow apostles. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about what he heard from him. He's talking about the gospel. And he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, of a truth, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship. That struck me some time ago as I read it. Our fellowship. And down in verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This little group of believers has something very, very special. It's very, very special. It's very precious. It's very rare what we have here. And that's a fact. I've been many places, and others who come here experience the same thing. We have a very, very special and precious thing here. We have a very close relationship, fellowship. We do. This is truly a family. It really is. A family of brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is rare in this day. It really is. And we need to guard it. We need to guard it. We need to protect it. We need to nurture it. Do whatever we can to nurture it, to build it up, to help it along, to ensure that it continues. Don't we? That's how special this is. To let nothing and no one do anything to damage what we have here. Now, we can't do anything really about other people. So, what we need to do is not let ourselves damage them by God's grace. Do everything we can. We need to do everything we can to promote this, to unify, to unite, to cement these relationships, because it's that special, this fellowship that we have. Now, John said, what we saw and heard, we want to declare unto you that you might have this fellowship. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the gospel. And this is where we got our fellowship. This is where it came from. This is how it all started. That's why we're here. We wouldn't even know each other if it wasn't for this gospel. Well, we might know each other, might not even speak, though. Huh? Well, the gospel is what started this, and that's what it's all centered around. We're here, aren't we? And all we do when we get together here is preach and hear and rejoice in the gospel. No, that's it. That's the center of our fellowship. And our fellowship together, our relationship, what we have here, will continue as long as this gospel continues. It will. It will continue as long as this is what we're centered around. As long as it keeps coming from this pulpit, and you keep coming to hear it. This is what maintains this fellowship. The gospel is what maintains it. The gospel is what really causes it to grow. It started with the gospel. It centers around the gospel. And it's maintained by the gospel, this fellowship. He said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're here because we have the same Father. Every time we meet, it's Father's Day. Never Mother's, but always Father's. We always meet together to honor the Father, don't we? And the Son. We're here because, see, our fellowship truly is with the Father. He's the one that brought us here under the same roof together and put us in Christ, in the family. He's the one that chose us. And God the Son is the one who redeemed us. Our fellowship with the Father and with His Son. God the Son is the one who redeemed us. And God the Holy Spirit is not being slighted or left out here. We know that God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. God the Holy Spirit is the one who makes us conscious of Father and Son. He said. So God the Holy Spirit is the one who brought us here. You understand? He's the one who rounded us up and brought us here, sent by the Father to bring us to Christ. All right? I love Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened. Who? Well, God, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. They're all together in this thing of salvation. And you hath he, God the Father, quickened by the Holy Spirit regenerated, and raised us up together with Christ, brought us to Christ. There was a time when everyone in here had no real interest in God and in Christ. We had religion, but no real heart interest in God and in Christ. We were religious for whatever reason. Some of us weren't religious. We were just, well, there was a time when we had no interest in God or Christ, but God. You see, truly our fellowship's with the Father, but God. He's rich in mercy. For His great love, wherewith He loved us, hath quickened us together. Now we have an interest in the Father. Now we have an interest in the Son. Now we have an interest in the gospel. There was a time when we would have had no fellowship with each other. As I said, some of you may have known one another. Did you know any of these people before you started coming here? No? You're glad they didn't know you. Did anybody here know one another? You, Nancy, you know me, John? Anybody know each other before here? You didn't have any fellowship with them. Didn't have any real fellowship. I mean, before you came here. Had no friendship, nothing to do with each other. If it weren't for the gospel now, we probably wouldn't. We all come from different backgrounds and different, we have different personalities, don't we? And if it weren't for the gospel, we probably wouldn't have anything to do with one another, but God, who's rich in mercy, has quickened us together. We're in this thing together. He's brought us together and united our hearts in love for the gospel and love for one another. And we have a precious thing here. Now, those personality differences, they don't matter, do they? Huh? We love Henry anyway. And vice versa. Those past differences, you know, the different backgrounds, who cares? Huh? We're all trying to forget all that, really. We have this fellowship. And the fact is, really, now we're all being fashioned alike. We're becoming more and more alike. That's what the gospel does. It's conforming us to the image of one person, so that in the end we're all going to be just alike. Same mind, same everything, same likes and dislikes. That's right. It's getting pretty much that way now. Sam and I not only look alike, but we have the same likes and dislikes and mind and thought on things about the world and the truth, and we're brothers. Not flesh and blood brothers, and I are nothing alike, except in our meanness. Our old man, that old mayhem meanness, we got that alike, and I'm trying to be done with that. Both Stan and I here, man, we're just alike. And the older we grow together, the more we'll be just alike. And all those other things, I'm not. The longer we stay together, hear the gospel. Fellowship. Go over to Acts chapter 27. I want to illustrate this thing of fellowship. Acts chapter 27. Again, this is not my style of preaching, and I hope I don't ramble. Why do you think I preach verse by verse? So I won't ramble. Scripture will hold you, know, and hold your feet to the ground, you know. Yet stay with that. Wish more preachers would do that. Acts chapter 27, fellowship. This is what it means. Fellows in the same ship. Some of us have been boating together, haven't we? That's what fellowship is. Fellowship's all aboard one boat. The difference being that it'd be like all of us in the same ship, and we are. Of God, are you in Christ? We're in Christ's ark, just like Noah and all his family and the animals. They were all on board one ship. They were fellows in the same ship, weren't they? And we're all in Christ, and we're in the body. We're members of the body. Christ, the head, is in glory, but his body, his lower, is on the earth, is it not? And we're members of his body. And members one of another. We're all together in the ship, in the ark, Christ Jesus. Our destination. When you're in the same ship together, you're going to go, you're going to the same place, aren't you? If you get on board a ship, a train, or whatever it is, you check out the destination of it, huh? And if that's where you want to go, you get on that ship. Now, if that's where you're going to go, if you're on that ship, and so it is, that if we're in Christ, we're going to go where he is. We're going to go where he said his people would be. I will, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, to behold my glory. That's where we are. That's where we all are. That's where we're headed. We're in Christ, where our destination is Christ, to the Father, glory, bound for glory, jubilation. And our hope is this. All our hope is, and all our safety and our assurance and our very salvation depends on this ship. How are we going to make it? If the boat makes it, right? If the ship makes it, Christ is our ark. If we're going to be saved, if we're in Christ, Look at this story here in Acts 27. I love this. This is the story of the Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner at this time. They put him on a ship with several others, prisoners, and this is where the ship wrecked. And chapter 27, verse 22. Now, they were in danger after a big storm. Verse 20. Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest. Huge storm lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now, that's where we begin this journey. The Lord brings us to the point of no hope. And you were without hope, without God in this world, but no. I've got you in Christ. He put you in Christ. Now look at verse 21. After long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, Everybody on the ship heard a preacher. And he said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not at least from Crete, but gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to be saved on board this ship. But the ship is going to be consumed." What a picture of the gospel that is. Huh? Can you hear, can you see the picture in that? How that Christ, we live because Christ was crucified. We live because Christ died. We live, we're saved because Christ was punished for us. Look down at verse 31. Oh, I love this. Verse 31, Paul said to them, now they all wanted to abandon ship. Things really got bad, and they wanted to abandon ship. But Paul said, he reminded them, said in verse 31, to the centurion and to the soldier, except these abide in the ship, we cannot be saved. Stay on the ship. Your safety is in the ship. Stay here. If you leave it, you can't swim. It seems too rough. It's too big. You can't swim. It's too long. It's too far off the shore. You can't get there swimming. Stay on the ship. God told him. God promised. Stay on the ship. You're safe. So, here we are. That is in the same ship. If the boat makes it, they're weak people on that board that ship. They're strong. They're young. They're old. All of their safety is in the ship. And so it is with us in Christ. All of them. And when you're on board a ship, fellows in the same ship are doing one thing. Serving the ship. You're serving the ship. You don't serve the ship, you'll throw you overboard. Serving the ship, mutiny, you walk the plank, don't you? Serving the ship. Look over Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 with me. Paul writes of this. Right there. Romans chapter 12. You know, it's in our great interest if this, now, I'm using this interchangeably, this type. Christ is the life of safety. We're safe in Him. We don't maintain Him. He maintains us. Right? Okay. But now, the church, this fellowship that we enjoy, this body of believers that we have, the gospel, it's something we maintain. It's something we serve. We serve each other. This is the body. The body is the church. And we serve the body. We can't do anything for or against Christ, the head. He's in heaven, right? He said, if I were him, they wouldn't ask you. We can't do anything for or against Christ. So how we serve him is we serve one another. And how we serve the ship, this fellowship, is to maintain this, what we have here, the church. All right? It's in our interest if this church continues. Isn't it? Especially those of you with little ones. But it's in our personal interest. We can't live without this gospel. We can't live without it. Your little ones won't live without this gospel. They need it. So it's in our interest that this gospel be maintained, that this fellowship be nurtured and maintained. In a ship, anybody in here been on a ship? You been on a ship? Every member of the ship's got something to do with it. No matter how small the task, it's not a small task if it's in service to the ship. If it's a fellow that's, you ever wonder why they scrub the decks and that? Anybody ever wonder why they scrub the decks and that? Because if those decks get slick, if they don't scrub those decks down, they get algae and everything on them, and they get slick and they're dangerous. You're following them. So they scrub them every day. Every day. You ever wonder why they polish the brass and all that? But those things won't work if you don't keep the power structure. The world and maintain the sales and it's all important, is it not? Who's most important? The fellow the lookout, or the fellow down there cooking the food? If you ask the lookout, he'll say it's cook. If you ask the cook and he's down there, he can't see a thing, he'll say it's the lookout, don't you? And on it goes. They're all important. You ask the fellow who starts horsing the sails, and they've been shown by a tailor or whatever he's called. It's not about somebody's name to be saved. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. Paul says, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, every member one of another, all in this thing together, fellowship. Having been gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, according to whatever it is God's given us to do, whether preaching, let's preach according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let's minister. That is whatever it is you have to do. Ministry. Teaching, teach. Who's more important, the ladies teaching our children or me? I was taught by a lady when I was a kid. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said, I'm so thankful for Lois and Eunice, your mother and your grandmother, Timothy, who taught you the gospel. Who's more important? All the same. All the same. Read on. Teaching, teach. Do it. No, you're not capable. No, Mary, you're not capable of doing that. I mean, I'm not either. Before I ever preached my first sermon, I've never made a public speech in my life. Not even in school. I cut class that day. I'm serious. I'm just like you. I just broke out a cold sweat if I thought about standing up in front of people. Think about Moses. He's out there 40 years tending sheep. Now go preach, Moses. I can't put two words together. All I've been saying for 40 years is come, go, no. The sheep. Who made man's mouth? Who made woman's mouth? I'll be with you, see. Look back, I thought about the apostles the other day. Who was I talking to? Somebody. About the Lord sending those apostles out by twos? Fisher, James, and John. We've been in boats for years. They grew up fishing. That's all they knew. They didn't go to school. They took speech classes. They didn't know hermeneutics. They didn't know these things, did they? And the Lord one day said, okay, James, John, y'all go to Capernaum and pray. Go. Wait. You go with us. And they walked off and go. I bet you James said to John, you go first. Jonathan, you go first, you're older. Where are we going? Who's not? Somebody going to be there when we get there? Is there going to be a crowd? What are we going to say? Just tell them what we're doing. And they preached, didn't they? And they did that for them. And the Lord blessed them. Verse 8, he did exhorted an exhortation. Exhortation? What's that? Just be with him. Just be with him. Your presence. That's what he wrote in Hebrews. With me, he said, let us not forsake assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't jump ship. Stay on the ship. You stay on the ship. You'll be out. Keep the kids on the ship. Pop, scratch. up and down. Scrubbing the bed. It's important. He that giveth, let him do it. You know how much money it takes to float a ship? I like to read those old seafarers. Still read them. I've read all of Ian Forster's Admiral Hornblower, all that old series, and the Pops, not me, an old set of Alexander Kent's. He's a newer version of that. I read them out with rubbish. And when they used to send those big sailor ships out, you can't believe the stores that they had to buy to put on that ship. You can't believe it. It took months to load a ship. What about those aircraft carriers with 3,000 people on them? And there's those cities. You know how much money it takes to maintain them? You know how much food and all that? You need to give them. Let him do it. It's simplicity. That is liberally. He's for a good cause, isn't it? We've had a Bible interest, didn't we? No, fellas. Oh, fellas. That's who he loves, y'all, fellas. Fellas in the same ship. But he that ruleth, do it with diligence. What's that like? Being in charge? I found that positively sweet. Whenever we go out to eat, or I go to some other town, and I say, ask me something, I say, I don't want to make the decision. You do it. Where we go to eat? Well, you do it. We need to rule it, we do it with diligence. We need to show it mercy with cheerfulness, and on so on and on. He goes. 1 Corinthians 12, turn it up. Paul, the greater liberty. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Same subject to the church. Paul wrote to the Romans, and then he writes to the Corinthians. What's he like? Same thing. They have the same needs. They have the same interest, y'all. They have the same interest. Could be at this very moment, as I speak, someone else is speaking right now on the first episode. I know they are. I know they are. If the church everywhere needs to hear them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Paul says, if the body is one, as many members, all members of that one body be many of one body, so also is Christ. And by one Spirit, we're all baptizing in one body. Back when they used to, again, in these old sailing vessels, particularly in war times, back in, they used to, it's called conscription. They didn't have, well, they did ask for volunteers on board the boat. And if you didn't volunteer, they took you. But they called it, what is the conscription that's called, anyway, they go out and get you. And put you on the ship. To serve Her Majesty's Royal Navy. And so it is. The Lord is to bring us in. That's called, just to put us in front. We're baptized into one body, Jew, Gentile, born hollow, born thin. That's where Henry comes, born hollow. And we're all been made to drink into one Spirit. The body's not one member, it's many. And you know the rest of this. If the foot says, I'm not the hand, I'm not. And I'm not in the body, I'm not the body. Which is most important? For it's in the foot of the hand. Which would you rather do that? Which would you rather do that? I mean, what about a little coat? I'd do that. You never walk all over. You never walk, sir. You never really do it. What about your nose? That's something. But we do it after the nose. One eye? Ear? One man in the body of the ears. One lotion. Anything? You like to do it? Any member of your body is not important to you. What about your liver? You don't see that. Your liver? Look at Ephesians 4. No, Ephesians chapter 4. And so it is in the body of Christ. Every member of God. Can you think of one person in this room right here that you could look around. Think about it. In the body. Oh, John's not here. No. There's not a glass of water there, and I'm dying first. That's a different thing. Now, the influence of others, and the wrong selfishness, somebody. I'm dying first. When somebody goes to bed at Bethlehem, that's what they say. That's another story. But John's not here. We need to know. It's not the same. Two or three of the men came to the Your children, I said, well, your church, can you spare any church? Would you like to do that? And so I don't see it. How many of you are seven? Seven. Ephesians 4, verse 16. John was talking about the church, the body, from whom the whole body fitly joined, from Christ, the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Now do you understand this thing? If one person on the ship wants to meet me, the whole ship is bad. Let's think about it. If one person wants to meet me, and it's up there, and their job is to have to get slack. Our bodies are so together. That true working in the measure of every part makes the increase of the body and edifying itself in love. One person on the ship tears down. The fellowship, right? That everybody's united. That's it. One time, nothing in the middle will kill four times. As I told you before, this is one time that can save everything. This is one time that you need to pray. You're feeling pretty bad that day, isn't it? All right, I'm about feeling bad, not faith. All right, he says, he says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Go back to John. He says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father, is with your Son. Truly. Now, there can be no true fellowship unless it's in the Father. There's a real fellowship unless it's in the gospel in the true gospel, and then let's fall in love with Christ first. First and foremost, I've learned this in my past a long time ago, that you don't build a church on programs and activities and games and running personality. You don't
God has declared everybody with prayers and thanksgiving and meditation. It's dangerous for the next to make it possible if they had faith that way. You know? I've never been accepted for it. Some of you, you know, some folks attended here. Now I'm just in my passion. You don't think that I'm doing it until they embrace that. When I look at the churches in the way that you're talking, I'm not looking at the church members and not the church. I'm not looking for warm bodies. I'm looking for warm hearts. Lovers of Christ. And people who fall in love with Christ by being you know, wishing them in and loving them in. You don't love people in this room. You don't entertain them in this room. That goes through the faith of the world, but that's not the way people say it in the people of God's room. One thing is tired of that stuff. Well, I tell you, though, when somebody once fellowship is established, and then you embrace them, then you hold up to them, and then they're the same as me. Then they're the same. They're the sons, the daughters. Who do I fellowship with the Father? Verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light, if he is in the light, what's the light? The light of the gospel. How can two walk together if you don't believe in me? How can you have fellowship? How can I have fellowship with God? That's what he wrote. How can I have fellowship with the gospel? If someone doesn't love the gospel and the conversation brings you in the gospel, they're crazy. They don't understand. They have faith. So, truly, our fellowship begins with the gospel. And so what we want for a person is that they first fall in love with Christ, not us. Not us. But Christ. Love the gospel. And only God can do that. Only God wants to do that. Only God wants. And that's it. Like I said, once that fellowship, once God puts a person in love with Christ and love with his son, they don't care if you love them or not. They don't care. They don't come here for it. It's friendship that they come from the gospel. But well, once they fall in love with the gospel, then the fellowship really begins. That in verse 4, he said, be ever your joy is full. Joy in the gospel and joy in one another. Joy in one another. Who sat? Everybody sat and watched each other. Not tongues. Somebody wondered about something. Put your hands up in that night. He was an outsider. Until the Lord added it. And he keeps me juggling. He sits in a chair in the middle of the whole church. He's like, I think he's laughing. He's just sat there sitting in the church. That's what happened. He's coming in with a bag. And I sat there and watched that. And I was looking around, too. I was sitting over in the corner because I was looking around each one of them and thinking about where they came from and how they're supposed to make you in the very first sense of the gospel. I was just so glad thinking about God's good promise and doing it out of the world. Aren't you so glad? You know, we some of us are doing it, we don't know what it's like. So hard. It's natural. You got to act like it. There's no freedom. There's nothing but self-righteous judges who make you offend with your word, with your action. You can't be yourself. That's not the way it is, it's not. That's what makes family interesting. And you know, you can put your hair down in the family, and if you don't have it, I didn't look at you, sir. I looked at you, sir. Only, I looked at you. You can be yourself. Freedom. Liberty. The blessed liberty. Freedom that we enjoy is called fellowship. David learned more about it. He was self-righteous, self-pious, right? Micah said, maybe you didn't feel ready. Expect to go to yourself. He said, I think you Let me tell you sometime what Jack, what I'm going to teach for the name of the church. All right, let's read this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, every last one of you, making requests. Not out of duty, but with joy, because I love you. For your fellowship in the gospel, from the very first day, until it just gets me. Who said that I was happening? Who heard it say that? Heaven's been doing it currently. All right, let's see on the scene a good closing here. I think you know what it is. You know what it says. Let's read the tithe scarcity passage. We don't do it. We don't do it. We keep something. 187. Turn over there. 187. Let's make sound with it. Let's be the tithe. Yeah.